This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. In the Bible, there are three groups of people who were in special need of God's love and mercy. These were the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. The vulnerability of these people meant that God was their defender, their helper, and support. God's concern for those that are more vulnerable than we are means that we are also invited to do the same. We have to come to their aid.
Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Thus says the Lord, "You shall not molest or oppress an alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. You shall not wrong any widow or orphan. If ever you wrong them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. My wrath will flare up, and I will kill you with the sword. Then your own wives will be widows, and your children orphans. If you lend money to one of your poor neighbors among my people, you shall not act like an extortioner toward them, by demanding interest from him. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you shall return it to him before sunset. For this cloak of his is the only covering he has for his body. What else has he to sleep in? If he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate." The word of the Lord.
I love you, Lord, my strength.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you know what sort of people we were among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model for all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Here now is Father Enobong with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection.
The commandment of love is meant to make us more like God, because God is love. The salvific action of God is motivated by love, as presented in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. Our actions as Christians towards God and our neighbor should be motivated by love. Our love for one another is the concrete expression of our love for God. We can only show our love for God by doing good to others, treating others as we would like others to treat us. Hence, as Christians, St. Paul in the second reading invites us to be imitators of Christ by not only professing our faith, but by also living out the faith. Faith without good works, St. James says, is dead. The good works we do to others are lasting testimonies of our Christian calling. How do we witness to the love of God in our family, office, and in the community? Which of the qualities of love do we exhibit? Is it patience and kindness? Do you know that love is not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, is not ill-mannered, does not seek its own interest, does not take delight in wrong, but rejoices in truth? Let us then pray for a loving heart. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Robin Peary and Father Hilary Munyaneza contributed to the program. The Gospel Reflection was by Father Enobong Udoidion, and I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned now for our Bulletin of Church News.
Francis on Saturday morning received in private audience the President of Spain, Mr. Pedro Sanchez Perez Castellón, and his entourage. Following his meeting with the Pope, the Spanish President also met with the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher. A statement from the Secretariat of State later said that the meeting between the delegations of the two states was focused on bilateral relations and the common interests concerning Spain and the Holy See. The talks also underscored the importance of constant dialogue between the local church and government authorities. Archbishop Gallagher and President Sanchez also reflected on some of today's international issues, including the current health emergency occasioned by the COVID-19 pandemic and the reality of migration and the European integration process. Pope Francis on Saturday also met in private audience with the Prefect of the Congregation for Bishops, Cardinal Mark Wollet. The meeting of the Holy Father with Cardinal Mark Wollet came just before he had an encounter with the lecturers and students of the Marianum Pontifical Faculty of Theology. The meeting came on the 70th anniversary of the foundation of the Institute, and the Pope said in his address that he was grateful for the contribution the faculty has made in the Church's theological pursuits. Robin Gomes has this report.
Pope Francis on Saturday held up the figure of Mary as the model of mother and woman, saying her school is one of faith and life, as she teaches well the alphabet of human and Christian life. By going to the heart of Mary's mystery in the scriptures, the Pope said, we can discover the wonders of her motherhood and her womanhood.
La Madonna è in quanto madre può rendere più fraterni.
The Pope said, Our Lady made God our brother, and as a mother can make the Church and the world more fraternal. The Church needs to rediscover her maternal heart, which beats for unity. But she also needs our earth to become again the home of all her children. Citing his latest encyclical Fratelli Tutti, he said, Our Lady wants to give birth to a new world where there is room for all those whom our societies discard. We need motherhood, the Pope said, those who generate and regenerate life with tenderness, because only gift, care and sharing keep the human family together.
Pensiamo il mondo senza le madri. Non ha avvenire.
According to the Pope, a world without mothers has no future. Prophets and prophets alone, he said, do not give a future. On the contrary, they sometimes increase inequalities and injustices. Mothers instead make every child feel at home and give hope, the Pope said. Speaking about Mary's womanhood, the Pope said, just as the mother makes the Church a family, so the woman makes us a people. In this regard, the Pope drew attention to the role of women, saying it is essential for the Church and for the world. He regretted that many women do not receive their due dignity. The woman who brought God into the world must be able to bring her gifts into history, he said, stressing her genius and style are needed. I'm Robin Gomes.
Pope Francis on Saturday named Italian Archbishop Pier Battista Pizzaballa as the new Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem. Until his nomination, Pizzaballa has since 2016 served as Apostolic Administrator of the Latin Patriarchate of Jerusalem, while the office of Latin Patriarch has remained vacant. His appointment ends a four-year period of waiting for the estimated 293,000 Latin Catholics in Israel, the Palestinian territories Jordan and Cyprus for a new patriarch. 55-year-old Pizzaballa is a Franciscan friar who has lived in the Holy Land since 1990. He is a former Franciscan custos of the Holy Land. He succeeds Jordanian-born Patriarch Emeritus Fuad Wal, who led the Patriarchate from 2008 to 2016. His beatitude, Pizzaballa, speaks Italian, Hebrew and English, and he is a member of the Congregation for the Oriental Churches. The Vatican and popular movements from around the world met virtually on Saturday to discuss some of the topics that Pope Francis addressed in a letter to popular movements and his new encyclical Fratelli Tutti. One of the participants at the meeting is Rose Molokwane, who is the coordinator of the Federation of Urban and Rural Poor, FEDUP for short. She is also the co-founder of Slum Dwellers International, an organization of women who are working to help transform the slums of the cities of the world. Speaking to Sister Bernadette Reese ahead of the conference on Saturday, Molokwane looked at the concerns that she has brought to the Vatican meeting of popular movements.
I would like to get into the meeting with the hope of making people understand that we still have a lot of people who are homeless. We still have a lot of people who are landless. We have people who don't have security of tenure. What I want to see us doing as popular movement is to come together and draft our own policy as the popular movement, and using that policy to influence our different governments where we are staying. Because if we are not doing it together, but doing it individually, you will find that the international world never understands what the people are talking about. It is important for us to raise our voice together as popular movement. It is important that we make sure that this movement is recognized internationally. It is us who have to make to change our own lives. It is us who have to influence the policies of government, especially when it comes to land and housing, because those are the areas where people get dignity, where the households get confident privacy and working together as a neighbor. That's what I wanted to emphasize in today's meeting.
October 24th is Zambia's Independence Day, and this year is the country's 56th anniversary since the country broke away from the British colonial powers. Back in Zambia, the festivities are somber, not only because of the subtle effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, but also that the country is experiencing serious economic hardships, and also because 56 years on, Zambia has little to show for its economic independence, as we hear in this report by Father Paul Samasumo.
In these COVID-19 days, there did not seem to be much pomp and fanfare in Zambia, save for an investiture ceremony that the country's head of state presided over. In his Independence Day address to Zambians, President Edgar Chagwa Lungu urged Zambians to embrace patriotism. For his part, the country's founding father and president, Kenneth Kaunda, addressed himself to those in the diaspora. At 96 years old, Kaunda looked frail, but was still lucid and his usual decisive self. Zambia has been known throughout the world for its peace. Let us maintain that peace, urged Kenneth Kaunda, warning that posterity would judge Zambians harshly if that peace was lost. At 56, not all is rosy. Opposition political parties and civil society in Zambia decry the country's shrinking freedoms under President Edgar Chagwa Lungu. Opposition parties have faced arrests and obstacles to their wish to organize politically. The dreaded Public Order Act has been used unfairly against the opposition parties. Economically, the country is also facing huge challenges and is one of Africa's highly indebted countries. Freedom of the press is constitutionally guaranteed, but is highly restricted in practice. Media outlets critical of the government, such as the former Post newspaper and Prime TV, have either been closed or have had their television licenses revoked. As Zambia goes to the polls next year, Zambians would be hoping with bated breath that once again the country will live up to its credentials as a haven of peace, notwithstanding challenges. I'm Father Paul Samasumo for Vatican News.
We would like to inform listeners that clocks will be going back by 1 hour in Rome this Sunday, the 25th of October, marking the end of daylight saving time. Therefore, the first broadcast of our program will be going on air 1 hour earlier at 16:30 UTC or 17:30 Rome time. The repeat broadcast can be heard at 20 hours UTC or 21 hours Rome time beginning this Sunday. To listen to the podcast of our program throughout the day, just go to our web portal www.vaticannews.va, click on the podcast section and choose English for Africa. Meanwhile, our shortwave frequencies from this Sunday are the following: 11,935 kHz on the 25-meter band and 13,830 kHz on the 21-meter band for our 16:30 UTC broadcast. The repeat program at 20 hours is on 6,010 kHz on the 49-meter band and 7,365 kHz on the 40-meter band.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, we shine the spotlight on solar cooking, which, according to an advocate, can help achieve all the sustainable development goals, including those related to clean water and gender equality. Solar cooking utilizes heat generated directly from the sun instead of converting sunlight to electricity, permitting users to cook with energy that is safe, clean, sustainable and free, according to Alan Bigelow, Science Director at Solar Cookers International. Mr. Bigelow spoke with Flora Nducha of UN News on who stood to benefit from the technology and how it works.
Cooking energy is something that's a big challenge for about 45% of the people on the planet today. So those people who are that challenged either are needing to find the fuel themselves or to buy it with their small amount of income that they have. So what solar cooking provides is an answer to primarily the people at the end of the mile who are struggling to find these basic fuels for cooking. And with solar, it's a tremendous free resource for those who want to use it. And solar cooking can be practiced by anybody who has access to the sun. So if you think about countries across Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and across the Caribbean, and so many places across the world today, there's an abundance of sunshine, even where in the areas where people are challenged for finding clean fuels to use. So the sustainability part here fits in that we have heard so much about clean cook stoves. And clean cook stoves often are still using some form of fuel, mm-hmm. which the customers need to buy. But with solar cooking, it is free. There is no fuel that one has to buy. It's fuel directly from the sun. I should be clear that we are talking mostly about solar thermal cooking. That means that we are converting the energy of sunlight directly to heat without any other intermediary. Sometimes people think about solar in terms of electricity production,
yes.
and then you can use the electricity to also cook with, which
yes.
is certainly an option, but that happens to be much more expensive, much less efficient, and the equipment that is involved is more cumbersome, I think. So we are tracking those developments, but we are primarily focused on the solar thermal cooking.
Someone will be wondering, how does it work?
Exactly, yeah. It almost seems like magic if you've never seen it working for the first time. But it's very simple, and I can explain this through very basic physics. I'm a physicist, and I love to teach, so this gives me that opportunity. But I ask people to remember one word, and that is CARES, C-A-R-E-S. And each letter in that word will stand for, it will explain how this works. So C, think of C as being for collecting light. So with solar cookers, you often see a fairly large aperture, a window, and perhaps beyond that window, there might be reflectors that will be used for gathering and collecting light. Next letter, A, is for absorption. We want to absorb the light. So typically black surfaces, matte black surfaces are used for absorbing the light, and then the energy of the light is converted directly to heat. Then we need to retain the heat. So R in the word CARES is for retaining the heat. And many solar ovens and solar cookers will have insulating walls around the box that is containing the food in the cooking vessels. E in CARES, it's efficient, and it certainly is very easy. Mm-hmm. The final letter, S, it is safe and it is sustainable. We will always have the sun, and that is free energy. and this will be for generations ahead as well.
How far this project has gone? Is there any country which they've already started experiencing or using these kind of cookers?
Yes, absolutely. Solar Cookers International has over 500 partners that are working in 135 countries. So a lot of places around the planet today. SCI is tracking the usage of solar cookers and the implementation of cookers in these various countries. So it is a wonderful opportunity. While I mention 135 countries, often still the visibility of the solar cooker is very low. People don't know about it. So we are asking that countries, nations, leaders, policymakers help this movement, this global movement, to elevate the visibility of solar cooking, to promote solar cooking. Solar cooking can actually have a benefit to all 17 sustainable development goals. So it is seriously a cross-cutting solution that helps with energy, it helps with water through treating water and pasteurizing it, making it safe to drink. It can also be a benefit for gender equality because typically it's the women that are seeking fuel and in terms of walking for miles to collect the wood, and this can actually be an alternate to reduce the amount of time that they would be looking for wood. They might still need to collect wood for cooking at night because solar cooking is primarily a daytime activity until the solar battery is a commercial object, but which is coming up in another year or so. All of these sustainable development goals, including those for health, for education, for the environment, can be helped and benefited by more solar cooking.
That was Alan Bigelow, Science Director at Solar Cookers International, speaking there to Flora Nducha of UN News. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, News about our environment. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetu Jesus Christus.